Hello and welcome to D2C Podcast. Today's brand is actually flowing through my internal organs as we speak. Today you'll meet Dan Crosby, the Canadian protein mogul who recently bid and to his initial surprise bought BioSteel from the clutches of an ugly bankruptcy proceeding splashed all over the Canadian headlines. BioSteel is a no-sugar, clean-ingredient electrolyte beverage that rose to mass awareness in Canada and hockey-loving parts of the United States due to its deep partnership as the official beverage of the NHL that not only includes intense branding opportunities, but also a deep product market fit with players across all levels of hockey, plus lots of loyal superstar supporters in the NFL, NBA, and more. Before bankruptcy, BioSteel was burning over $11 million a month, building brand equity and sales that actually grew 124% in the last fiscal year. Now Dan gets to take over with a clean sheet, a strong track record, and an incredible opportunity that could easily be the Canadian CPG comeback story of the year. In this podcast, Dan lays out his plans for righting the BioSteel ship, streamlining retail, maintaining the incredible brand equity he's building with the NHL, and extending it into the grassroots towards the kids who actually collect the containers just like they do with Prime. Now make sure you're truly hydrated with electrolytes that guarantee the water gets where it needs to go. And on with the show.
Every dollar I spend, I better see 10 back. It doesn't matter if I'm spending $100 million to get to $1 billion or a dollar to get to 10. That's how the way that I ran Canadian Protein. And that's one of the ways that it's become so successful is it's very easy to analyze this type of data to recognize whether or not it's performing. The problem that I'm having to get around is, say I get into an agreement with the NHL just for an even number, $10 million. Am I going to see analytical hard data that will show the NHL has produced 10x for me? I'm not going to be able to see that. It's not so easy as let's pop into our Google Analytics account and find out where the traffic's coming from and how much of that traffic is actually converting.
If you haven't yet used Motion, the creative analytics platform used by top e-com and D2C brands like Fiori, True Classic, The Farmer's Dog, Hexclad, and hundreds more to ship winning ads, here's why you should try it out. Everyone knows that the right creative is the number one lever for success with paid ads. That's how you make money. But consistently shipping new winning creative? You're going to need your media buyers and your creative teams on the same page. Right now, you're probably spending hours tiring away going back and forth between Google Sheets and your ad platforms and tools, and then spending even more time plugging it all into different decks for the rest of your team. In a perfect world, you could have an elegant way to combine visual assets and performance data so media buyers can save time and creative teams can get the details they need to make great ads all in one place. And that's where Motion comes in. In seconds, you can build powerful visual reports using data from your ad accounts. You can monitor your performance metrics and see your visual assets in the same platform. No need to go back and forth across multiple apps. You'll finally have media buyers and creative teams working together to create and scale your next big winner. If you're ready to learn how the best D2C and e-commerce brands use Motion to ship winning Meta, TikTok, and YouTube ads, book a demo today or start a free trial at motionapp.com/DTC. Even better, Motion offers a monthly subscription plan so you can dodge those annoying annual contracts. Get 50% off your first month when you use the link motionapp.com/DTC on signup. Full chug.
BioSteel in there, yeah.
It's all BioSteel. All BioSteel, all the time. This is a big moment on the D2C podcast. I don't know if you've been following along in my journey, but I have been drinking this Canadian amazing product called BioSteel. I had a naturopath recommend it to me as a way to start hydrating my body, hydrating my cells a little bit more. Started following this amazing story of this brand that had incredible brand equity built up, especially in the Canadian market, bought by Canopy, a big cannabis company, fell under some financial duress, was not able to meet some of its financial targets, and Canopy put it up for sale. And Dan, you bought BioSteel. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate that. It's been quite the journey. I never thought I'd own it. Even looking into the first initial, you know, situations of, you know, hey, this product is, you know, it's failing. The brand or the business is failing. You know, we should really take a look at buying it. You know, one of my colleagues was mentioning here at work, and I kind of chalked it up as a joke, and I didn't take him serious. And you know, next thing you know, we're placing bids, and it was more from the perspective of you kind of, you know, the famous Gretzky quote, right? You miss all the shots you don't take. And it turns out we took the right shot. And, you know, in hindsight, we ended up asking, you know, why us, right? Because there was a lot of big players that were interested in it. And I wasn't really exactly sure. I wanted to know, right? I wanted to know if we're ever in this kind of predicament again, if I'm ever going after whatever it is. You know, I'm always in real estate negotiations and things like that as well. So I wanted to know, you know, what it was about our bid that was the winning bid. And they couldn't really get into too many things as to why we were the winning bid. But, you know, in so many words, they were mentioning a couple key aspects. You know, we were quick to act. We were easy to work with. And we had all the right tools to help facilitate the transition. And then not only that, but, you know, I have a proven track record in the space. So that was also a big aspect as well that I don't think they overlooked. But yeah, those were the things. And I never would have thought, to be honest.
I want to dive into what we can talk about the purchase, but just catch us up on your background a little bit. So you mentioned that being a major reason for why maybe your bid was accepted. Talk about what brought you to this race.
Yeah. Well, I own Canadian Protein, and I started that brand probably right around the same time as BioSteel was starting, right around the 2007, 2008 time period during the Great Recession. And I started it very grassroots. I mean, how deep do you want to get here?
Give me the elevator. Give me the hero's journey.
So basically, in so many words, you know, I started a nutritional store back around in that time. Actually prior to that, I had started a website that wasn't doing all that well. I got into e-commerce fairly early, and I say 2007, 2008, that's fairly early because it's nowhere near what it is now. Like even like, you know, Facebook started in 2004, right? And I started in 2007. So, you know, the equivalent of what social media is now was like discussion boards, like fitness and nutrition discussion boards, right? So I started to kind of get into there. It wasn't really catching on too much. Started a store in response to the website not doing all that well. Website started to pick up. Actually, the store did very well. The website started to pick up, and I realized that scaling brick and mortar is a lot more difficult than scaling e-commerce. So I sold the store, went all in on the website, and then but from owning the store, I had become, you know, I guess befriended the owner of the plaza of the store that I was in. And I ended up buying my first package of real estate right around the same time from him. I bought 14 condos on the water here in Windsor from like all the money that I had saved up working like 2-3 jobs for my entire life up until my early 20s. Saving all my money that I got for Christmas, birthdays, all that stuff. I had a whack of money that I had saved up, and bought some real estate as kind of like, I dropped out of school. You know, if the business thing doesn't work out with supplements, I need something, so I'm going to buy some real estate.
Good time for that.
Yeah,
right around,
exactly,
right around,
yeah.
As you said, 2008, right? That's when I bought my house. It's doubled since.
Exactly, right? What people don't really realize about that though is during that point in time, first of all, it was really scary. And although people look back and say, oh, you're lucky doing that and pulling the trigger at that point in time, it wasn't luck. It was just sheer, you know, having balls during the time, right? You had to have balls to make moves during that time period. But it was really easy when you don't really have a plan B because I had dropped out of school. So I ended up pulling the trigger. And my whole position on it was, well, it can't really get any worse because buying condos for like 20 grand. So I did that, went all in on the website, and you know, was working with other contract manufacturers to have the products produced. Didn't like what was going on. I rehabbed some of the condos, pulled some equity out after adding value in the condos, pulled about $30,000 out of the condos that I had renovated, bought my first blender, threw that in a commercial space, started making the product myself, like walking up the stairs, dumping the protein bags in there, you know, mixing everything myself. And, you know, 15 later we're here, 15 years later, we're buying BioSteel. So, so that's basically the, you know, with a bunch of crazy shit happening in between to get to this point, but that's how it all started, you know, from mixing protein in its in a tub in my kitchen, you know, with a glove on my hand by hand, you know, getting the equity from the renovations that I did myself by watching YouTube videos, you know, pulling that equity out from the bank and using that equity to buy a blender, to start making my own protein and supplements to, you know, now we've got two manufacturing facilities. We just accepted a PO from Costco. It's going to be worth about $40 million a year. And then, you know, the other BioSteel stuff is, yeah. So it's been something, man. It's been real something.
Yeah. And what an opportunity with BioSteel. Like, it's one of those brands that, like, if you talk to the average, like the average Canadian knows BioSteel. Like, the brand is so well established. It has such a distribution footprint. I have my friend's kids come over to the house, and it's like a bit of a celebrity status thing because all their hockey friends play it. They all know it through hockey. So when people found out that BioSteel was a brand that was in trouble, they would be surprised because it has such a high brand equity still.
Yeah.
So I think that's such a neat opportunity. Can you just talk about the actual, because I think one of the things I've heard from a lot of my friends that are in this space that have really focused, that, you know, they started their first brand, had some success with it, and now they're buying brands. And they've come to me and said, like, oh my God, buying brands under the right circumstances is so much better than going from zero to one because you have a lot of the hard work done. So can you just talk about, like, what you actually bought with BioSteel, what you didn't, how that actually worked a little bit?
Sure. So I bought all of the assets minus the equipment down in Verona. So they had a manufacturing facility that made RTDs, not all of the RTDs, but some of them, and that they bought from Flow Beverage, you know, Flow, like it's like boxed water. So they had bought the manufacturing facility from Flow down in Verona, Virginia. I did not buy that only because that's not something that I want to operate. It's too far away. I already have two facilities. For me to control that is too much. There's too many moving parts there. You know, and I also had, you know, done a little bit of digging. I heard that they were running into some, you know, employment issues here and there and this and that. It's just not something that I like to keep my finger on the pulse on things. For me to keep my finger on the pulse there is just too much. Especially with not having somebody like from my team that I trust on site, not to say that I can't put someone in. Things were moving way too quick for me to take on another manufacturing facility. So I bought all of the assets worldwide, all of the trademarks, all of the copyright, you know, formulas, like, you name it. So I own the rights to the brand. I own the rights to the formulas, the packaging, you know, pretty much everything. I did not assume any contracts with the deal, you know, for various reasons, but because there's a lot of hair on the contracts that I did or didn't like. So I started with a clean slate, not even any vendor agreements. So we went in, reestablished the vendor agreements. The vendor agreements were not really assumable anyways, because I didn't buy the actual corporation, because, you know, if you're only buying assets, the liabilities don't come along with the assets. The liabilities would come along with, you know, assuming the business that the liabilities are tied to. So obviously we don't want that. We all know that's all public knowledge on how many liabilities came with this deal if that was assumed, which is staggering. So just assets, a bunch of inventory. And that we can, you know, we have the ability to sell through. We are selling through. And, you know, website, all the accounts, Amazon, you know, you name it. So that's what we ended up purchasing.
Do you have to, do they have some manufacturing facilities, or are you now rebuilding the BioSteel manufacturing capability after you sell through your current stock in your facilities?
So, we're going to continue with the manufacturing as is. Long term, I do plan on bringing it in house. Or, you know, I've been working with NutriBlend, who was their previous manufacturer, and they're, you know, arguably great to work with. They're not the cheapest to work with, but they're quick, they're efficient, they know what they're doing. And so I'm going to be working with them. There's a lot of rumors going around saying that, you know, NutriBlend's not going to be working with BioSteel anymore. They screwed them over, this and that. But I'm not the old BioSteel. I'm the new BioSteel. So it's relevant to them. They're businessmen. They want to push product through the door. They're there to make money. And BioSteel was a big customer of theirs. They're not going to turn us away. So, but yes, I do have manufacturing capabilities. And long term, the idea is to bring that in-house, you know, if the efficiencies are there and it makes sense.
You spoke a little bit about, you know, it was public knowledge. I think it was something close to $500 million in debt that you were able to kind of write off through the purchase. What can you say about where, because obviously you've got a new game plan and you're actually building in public, which is really cool across your social media channels. What can you say about like where it went wrong from your perspective to build what they've built, but to do it so inefficiently, I guess?
Yeah. So in terms of what I think they did wrong, so first off, it's hard for me to get into that because I'm still under, I'm still a little bit under NDA there. Not a little bit, I am. But this is what I think happened. And this is not from the perspective of what I've seen. This is just me looking from the outside in, not the inside out. Very high level. And I've seen this before. I think that the management of the whole conglomerate there was focused on top line revenue and that's it. And I'm going to guess that they were more than likely incentivized by it, which is why they were pushing so hard, so fast. And then obviously being a public company, their parent company being a public company, pushing top line revenue to prop the stock up. So I'm going to guess that that's why what was going on. But I also think that the intentions were more than likely in the right place where we're going to push this product as hard as we can for kind of a short period of time. And then once we've, you know, penetrated the market, we're going to dial it back. But the brand equity, the awareness, and the sales are still going to be there. I think what ended up happening was they just spread everything so thin. This is a hockey brand, right? This was born in the NHL by NHLers, and it's still very prevalent in the hockey world, in the hockey space. Now, don't get me wrong. Like, I see the orders coming through. Like, you're talking like NFL teams, MLB teams, NBA teams, MLS teams, you know, Chicago Cubs, like, you know, Houston Texans, like, you know, Yankees, like, you know, the Leafs, the Toronto FC, like we're talking like the Mets, like everybody buys this stuff, but not because they're forced to. It's almost kind of a situation where they just like it. The players like it.
It's a product whose time has come in a way too, right? Like everyone can't keep drinking this much sugar in, you know, yeah. People recognize the value of electrolytes. They don't want artificial sweeteners. Like BioSteel is and I feel like that's part of the confidence that was led with spending as much as they did. I like your synopsis of it being, okay, like let's build these pathways, let's build the brand equity, and then it'll have its own momentum. It'll create its own flywheels.
Sure.
And I think that was probably bolstered by this idea that, okay, this is a product that does have all this organic pull. It does. Mm-hmm. It does have people naturally wanting it because it's a superior product to what's out there on the market, right?
For sure, 100%. And I think that this product really, you know, one of the things that really turned me on to this product when I was, you know, looking into it is remembering when I was at the arenas, the rinks, you know, even baseball diamonds, watching kids, like I'm talking like a 3-year-old kid carrying this around. And I remember one time I'm at this arena, I can't remember what arena it was. And I saw literally like, I don't know, a kid must've been 3 years old drinking a BioSteel. It was like the cherry lime flavor. And I literally stopped the parents and I said, hey, and you gotta remember, I've been in this game for like 15 years, you know, making product, and it's routine to get questions about, is it safe for kids? Is it safe for me? Is it safe for adults? Is there any harmful, like, but to see a 3-year-old kid carry this with their parent there, and not only that, but knowing the parents a little bit and realizing that, hey, these parents are actually health conscious. I stopped them and I asked them, like, why are you comfortable giving your kid this? And they said, well, there's no artificial colors, there's no artificial ingredients, there's no artificial sweeteners in it. And they trust it. And I found that so unique and so rare because I've been in the business for 15 years. And at the end of the day, this is like, although this is like considered a food product, this is I would call it also a supplement product. And for a mother to say that, and then also for a mother to be so confident, and fathers to be so confident, to go buy this stuff at Costco and trust it to the point where it's the only product that they feel comfortable giving to their kids. It says something about the product. And I found that so unique. And I also found it extremely unique in a sense of that wasn't necessarily the marketing that they were pushing for this brand. And I've had numerous conversations with buyers at the retail level that really love this brand, but also carry other brands that they have, you know, candidly told me they'd never give that shit to their kids. So, but they give this to their kids. And I've talked to, you know, numerous, you know, influencers in multiple athletic spaces, and they all give BioSteel to their kids and they're comfortable. And at the end of the day, you got to think, right, anybody 18 and below, you know, it's probably rare for them to have their own money to go buy this stuff. So it's super interesting to see the pull that mom has, because at the end of the day, you know, Johnny that wants a hydration drink, you know, even if he wants a different brand, you know, whether or not mom feels comfortable buying him that different brand is a different story. And, you know, she's probably going to swing towards this because, you know, I can look at the back of this ingredient label and like, I recognize everything on the back of this. I had a buddy that just bought a new brand that just came to Canada. There's a shit ton of chemicals in it, right? And you can make the argument that they're safe and they're only harmful in extreme amounts of, like, you know, if you consume 900 pounds in a month of it or a week of it or whatever. But at the end of the day, you know, being able to read the back of a label, which is exactly the same model that that we use with Canadian Protein when we built that brand of, you know, I don't want to put any kind of ingredients in our products that have a hard time being read by an average consumer that doesn't necessarily understand what ingredients go into health products. And because at the end of the day, the largest market is the average consumer. The majority of people, I probably say 99% of people, they don't realize why this is good for you or so good for you. They only realize, like, hey, I need a hydration drink that has electrolytes, and this one's the natural option with no sugar, and that's it. So, and then somebody else that actually looks into this a little bit further and then realizes, like, oh, actually, it has the right ratio of electrolytes in it. It has the right electrolytes in it. It has actually 5 electrolytes in it, which a lot of other hydration drinks don't have all 5, and all 5 are actually important, right? So it's just such a unique product that I found very interesting when I started kind of like peeling it back, right? Because I started seeing it a lot.
It can be something that Sidney Crosby, no relation, I guess, drinks 12 of in a day, you know, in order to keep himself properly hydrated. But it's also the thing that my dad and my parents bought ahead of me coming there randomly when I was I'm drinking this stuff, and I show up and they're like, yeah, we saw it at Costco. We bought it because we don't want to be drinking too much sugar on the golf course. And then I was telling you earlier, like, we've had this guy Greater Than on the podcast. He went at it from like the Pedialyte approach, right? Like every hospital in North America stocks Pedialyte as this trusted sort of electrolyte beverage to give to people who are recuperating or whatever. And he built this massive, I think it's $20 million business or so, just on like really focusing on lactating mothers, right? Who come to this honestly, who are looking for these quality ingredients as well. So it's like, I just feel like it's such a great opportunity when you have a product that applies to so many people. People generally like it. And then you have the official stuff going with the NHL, which I want to dive into a little bit. And then you also have this grassroots, you know, love of the product where you're just getting all these other professional sports people who are probably geeking, their nutritionists are geeking out more on the 5 electrolytes and the, you know, the deep facts about the product. Let's talk about the NHL a little bit. So like, was the NHL deal, like, again, I don't know if it's not, if you can't speak to it too much, let me know. But like, was that one of the, is that one of the really top heavy sort of expenses when it came to the brand? Was there like their big established relationship with the NHL?
Previously?
Yeah, previously.
It was for sure. Yeah. I mean, it's public knowledge. It was like a $13.2 million USD deal. Right. So, okay. Yeah, it was heavy.
And then how are you going to handle that going forward as you assess costs?
So, we've built out a model that my goal is to keep the NHL. I want to keep the NHL, and then I want to get very strategic on how I build the funnel from top level, which, you know, arguably would be the NHL, and then down, but also, you know, come up with a very intricate strategy on how to build the funnel from, you know, down up as well. I mean, it's a reverse funnel, but, you know, is what it is. But I think the NHL with our strategy has a very interesting play. Now, I come from a world where every dollar I spend, I better see 10 back. It's kind of like our rule, or, you know, we veer from the rule or whatever, but, you know, as a general rule of thumb, you know, if it doesn't matter if I'm spending $1 or 100 million to get to a billion, or a dollar to get to 10, it's the same ratio. I want to see something along those lines, right? So
performance marketing, you're not spending into a black hole for a future return, right?
So the issue, so that's how the way that I ran Canadian Protein, right? And that's one of the ways that it's become so successful, is it's very easy to analyze this type of data to recognize whether or not it's performing. The problem that I'm having to get around is, okay, if I spend, say I get into an agreement with the NHL, for an even number, 10 million bucks. So say the next deal with the NHL is 10 million bucks. Am I going to see analytical hard data that will show, hey, you know, the NHL has produced 10x for me? I'm not going to be able to see that, because the style of advertising that they utilize is not, you know, it's not analytically driven. So I wouldn't say it's not analytically driven, because they do have consultancy firms that, you know, hey, how many eyes are on this, and how much viewership is watching each game, and how many times does the water bottle appear on the TV, and the goalie bottle, and, you know, all of that type of stuff. I shouldn't say it's not analytically driven, but it's not so easy as, hey, let's pop into our Google Analytics account and find out where the traffic's coming from and how much of that traffic is actually converting. So that's one of the strategies that we're looking at is, okay, well, if we're going to do these deals, that BioSteel is a little bit heavy on it. BioSteel is much heavier on these anecdotal deals and brand awareness marketing initiatives, whereas Canadian Protein is, hey, $1 of ad spend produces usually $10. It's totally measurable, right? Because all we've done is, you know, basically e-commerce, right? And that's super easy to measure. So we've built out a pretty sophisticated model to say, okay, well, this is our budget. Does the NHL fit in our budget? Okay, it fits in the budget. Then what do we have room for left? And then we've kind of like built out these different types of programs that we're going to start going live with in order to, say, support that style of sponsorship at the NHL level, which I think that if done correctly, there's a lot of chatter online when I ask that question and pose that question of, hey, should I keep the NHL deal? It's always kind of like, well, it depends, or no, you shouldn't, it's too expensive, or, you know, if you can make it work. And the people that say it's too expensive, it's those that don't understand how to creatively make it work to your advantage, rather than just, like, you know, throwing like an NHL shield like that on a product and just being like, hey, come buy it, right? It needs to be more. There needs to be more activation than just throwing a logo on a product and expecting people to just want it.
And they're open to it, which is cool too, because you're coming to this, what you're describing is the performance marketing mindset that we talk about on this podcast all the time, dollar in, $10 out. And so I think people would be like, oh, well, this is a brand deal, so they're not going to be open to that. But what you're finding is when you come to the, you know, when you're coming to the table with a more performative mindset, they're willing to talk about it, basically.
I wouldn't say that. They're absolutely, I think the NHL realizes that BioSteel is the right brand for them. I think they love the origin story of BioSteel. At the end of the day, what BioSteel is to hockey, Gatorade is to football. It's the same exact analogy. Gatorade was made from a Florida Gator. It's like, it was made by somebody that was like, I can't remember if it was like an alumni or something, but it was made with a football narrative behind it, right? In the whole football, you know, ecosystem or whatever. BioSteel is the same thing with the NHL and hockey. It's the same thing. So I think they realize that BioSteel is the right brand for them. It's authentic. I think that Like, listen, there's some very smart people at the NHL. The people that, you know, we meet with, the guys that came down, the NHL came down on Thursday, met with us, like last Thursday, met with us in our office, came down to Windsor, and, you know, took us out to dinner at Little Caesars Arena and took us to the Wings and Oilers game. I mean, I don't think you do that unless you think that there's something there. You know, who knows? I don't know. But I also think that they wanted to come down and find out, like, hey, is this guy actually for real? Is Dan Crosby, you know, the right fit? Is there somebody, is he somebody that we can go into business with, partner with, whatever? And, you know, I think that that was also important, you know, come down to the, is it just like to some small, are we going to his house? Are we going, like, does he actually have a facility? Does he actually have office? Is there some substance behind him, right? With whatever he's saying, like, he could talk a big game, but once we come down, we're going to really actually find out. And I think that, you know, we did a good job of convincing them that, hey, listen, we're actually the real deal, right? Going back to your point about, you know, performance-based, you know, agreements, do I think that they would be open to, you know, a perform? I think they have their requirements, and I don't think that they move the goalposts for many. I think that it's, you have to fit into their box with what they offer, and you have to figure out creative ways on how to make it work. I do think that the NHL, when they were here, they're explaining, like, listen, we got to be with a partner that is capable of activating the sponsorship, because if we grow, they grow. And if they grow, we also grow. So the proper partner, the proper brand that's authentic to the NHL brand is really important to them. And I also think they find it interesting that it's also a brand that has room to grow in the space, right? So it's not just a brand that's going to throw some money at the NHL and kind of call it a day and be done with them. And it's kind of a little bit of an afterthought, because, you know, the MLB, the NBA, and the NFL are much bigger. The NHL is, you know, the fourth of the big four. So I think that they recognize that, and I think BioSteel is the right brand for the NHL. And I see it all the time. I had a call with the OMHA, the, you know, Ontario Minor Hockey Association. Man, they are just like, they're in love with the brand. The kids love the brand. Same thing. The guys are like, hey, listen, like, it's the only product that I give my kids. Like, you work your stuff out and we'll figure out what 2020, you know, 24, 25 season looks like. Let's just do our thing now, and we'll support each other however we feel fit, and let's just have a go at it. Don't even worry about it. And we want to support the brand. We love it. And so I think that type of stuff, I think the NHL knows that. And at the end of the day, you got to think, how many kids come out of the OMHA that hit the NHL? There's a lot of kids. So if BioSteel is a brand that is, you know, the most trusted, the most, you know, beloved hydration brand from when that kid is 8 years old all the way up until when he hits the NHL, that's where the NHL starts to come into play, is, you know, activating grassroots with, like, the OMHA sponsorship deals, but performance-based sponsorship deals, performance-based fundraising deals, performance-based, you know, event sponsorship deals. You know, the previous BioSteel guys, they were just throwing money at everything and hoping it stuck, right? They were just like darts on a dartboard, right? But we're coming from a different approach where, hey, listen, maybe our sponsorship program isn't for everybody. Maybe you actually have to hustle to make a little bit of money, but it's doing very well on Canadian protein. So we adopted the same program. We're going to do it with BioSteel. But that's the stuff that we're talking about, of like how to tie the NHL in with respect to the grassroots, because, you know, it's the same product that 8-year-old's drinking that the NHLers are drinking on the bench. We just got to get creative on how to tie all of that together and tie the grassroots to the aspiration of the NHL. So I think that I think it's obviously possible. We've built out the models and everything, but I think it's totally doable. I think the previous guys just, they spread themselves too thin, and they were, instead of going all in where the brand is the most authentic, they tried to build too much awareness too quick and just got too thin instead of, you know, focus, right? You know, I've always noticed the most amount of growth in anything that I do is when I strip away all of the bullshit and it's just focus, right? I'm focusing on 20% of the things that produce 80% of the revenue. It's as simple as that.
And the other thing with hockey too, you mentioned, you know, supporting with all these grassroots efforts. Like I'm a huge hockey fan. I like hockey probably too much, but like the amount of like secondary content there is now, the amount of commentators on my TikTok and Reels feed that are like breaking down the NHL at strategic levels. There was the guy that launched into the Zin brand, the Upper Deckies, but like, you know, I don't know if you saw that guy, but there's so many influencers now that like surround the game. I think that could be another, you know, I think grassroots starting people young on BioC is a brilliant idea. But there's all these other interesting sort of like tertiary influencers around hockey too, that I think there's a real opportunity to, and I just see the game. The problem with hockey, I guess, is China's not going to pick it up. Like I look at the biggest reason for like the NBA, why, like, it drives me crazy that like journeymen in the NBA get paid more than Sidney Crosby. I also just have been amazed what a good product the NHL has been producing for the last several years. How well, like, people love to boo Bettman when he comes on when he comes on the ice, but he's done a really good job at expanding the game. I'm excited to see where it goes.
Yeah, that was something that came up too. The NHL is very, they want to expand into the US and they want to work with somebody that has the same goals, which, you know, we do. We want to slowly do it and responsibly do it, right? With the right markets, you know, like Minnesota, the Midwest, the Northeast, where hockey is very prevalent, and then expand into the markets where, you know, we'll follow the NHL's lead, where there actually is games going on. Right. And there's arenas, right? Obviously, if you're filling up an arena, there's hockey fans there somewhere, right? So we're going to be into those markets where, you know, we don't need to be in every single 7-Eleven gas station, you know, across the country. We already, like, listen, maybe people in New Mexico probably don't care about hockey all that much. So we don't need to be in New Mexico. It's fine. Like, I'm okay with that, right? And then they also want to expand over into Europe, which we get calls like nonstop, or DMs and messages, emails from, you know, Finland, Sweden, Germany, Denmark, you know, you name it, all of those Nordic countries and you know, Western European countries. They love BioSteel. They can't get enough. They can't get enough of it. And there was distribution out there. We've had to kind of pull back a little bit because there was a little bit, you know, there's regulatory scenarios with Europe, and I can't focus on that right now. I have to focus on the North American market and then start working, my way into Europe, back into Europe. But that's definitely on the radar too. And that's on the NHL's radar too, is, listen, hockey's not going to be the most prominent sport in Florida. It's not going to be. It just is what it is. So, and I don't think that they don't know that. I think that they realize that there's markets everywhere for it, but it's predominantly a Northern sport. Just kind of is what it is, right? So it's just for the same reason why baseball probably isn't as prevalent up here as hockey. It's a Canadian sport. It's a Russian sport. It's Northern European sport. Just, it is what it is. Not to say that you can't expand in those markets, but strategically, I think you expand in those markets. And then strategically, if we work out the NHL deal, we strategically, you know, expand into those markets with them, right? Instead of us trying to do it, we leverage the NHL in order to do it, right? And that's another reason why I like the NHL deal, right? We can kind of ride the coattails of the markets that they slowly start to enter or get stronger in.
I love it. It's true top of funnel. You know, we come from this direct-to-consumer world where so much of what we're focused on is ad dollars in and ad dollars out. And really, when you do that, you compress the funnel, right? You've got top of funnel, right to bottom of funnel, all in one moment. What are you guys doing on the D2C front? Like, what's the ad game like for a company like BioSteel?
We have barely any running right now. We actually just got access to like the Twitter, the TikTok account. Like, literally, it's what day is it? January 18th. I took the deal over on December 1st. We had issues, you know, as you can imagine, there was some employees that bounced. Some of their, you know, the two-factor authentication was going to their phone or their email or their personal phone or their personal email. We never were able to get it back. So we had to fight with these, you know, we just got Google Analytics and the ability to actually run ads or even to see what ads actually converted in historically, literally, like, I don't know, last Friday. So like, we're still compiling, like, it even takes a little bit of time for Google to like compile the data and consolidate it for us. into our new accounts. So there's still, we're still having to like work through that. And you're going to see that in like, say the January's update. I'm a little bit slow on getting these update videos going, but you'll see that in January's update video where the daily e-com sales have actually throttled a little bit, only because we weren't running as heavy historical sales as BioSteel once was, because we were running into fulfillment issues with the 3PL company that we use. We were running into ad issues where we couldn't actually create ads. So we're running we're actually running completely blind, because, you know, Shopify analytics, which is a platform that BioSteel is on, only runs so much information. We didn't have any kind of pixels on the website because we didn't have access to the Google Analytics account. We were just running so blind that now we can finally, you know, turn it on. And, you know, we run one little sale with like five products that are like due to expire. We're like 100K in one day. So like, there's a lot of steam behind BioSteel. We just have to, now we're starting to turn the floodgates on. Now we're starting to bring people in to help support, because I also took on, like, we just brought on, I think like a week ago, like three retail guys to support retail sales, one customer service, a logistics guy that started like Monday. For 6 weeks, it was me, my right-hand man, Clark, my IT manager, Leslie, and like my marketing manager, Dave. That's it. Four people took the jobs of like over 100. So like, yeah, and just trying to put the pieces together and trying to figure out, okay, well, who do we actually need in the business to help it, you know, continue and keep this momentum going? And, you know, I was very hesitant to bring anybody in because I didn't know who was actually responsible for fucking everything up, to be honest with you. I wasn't going to make a rash decision where it's kind of like you have 15 days or 14 days to make a decision on an employee that you don't know if they're, you don't even know who they are, really. Like, I'm not going to do that, right? So we just, you know, it's the same old story with me. When I take something over, when things get tough or whatever, I just put in more hours. It is what it is. I sleep less or, you know, whatever. So, you know, Canadian protein maybe takes a little bit of a backseat until we actually, like, you know, stabilize BioSteel or whatever. And, you know, that's what ended up happening. But now we're pretty good. And now we've got, you know, the contracts back in place. And some people dropped off, you know, the planograms, and it was bad timing, right? Planograms usually in retail stores reset in like the new year. And then we had some retailers that, you know, the news broke about BioSteel's bankruptcy in like September, October, or whatever it was. And they were just like, well, fuck this. We're not going to bring them back, like, because we don't even know what we're going to do. And we're not going to like keep the space unknowingly if whoever's taking it over is even interested in working with us. We're just going to give it to somebody else. And then if they come back to the table, great. If not, then see you later. They don't care. The retailers will fill the shelves no matter what. They don't give a shit. So, but now we're going to just go back to the drawing table and really focus on very key retailers. Like BioSteel, it's obviously not going to be as prevalent as it once was. They spent $400 million. I don't have $400 million to spend on this, right? So it just is what it is. It's not going to be as prevalent of a brand. It's probably going to take a little bit of a backseat to the scale of other brands that you'll see in the market, but it might be a little bit more of like an elusive brand where if you want the best hydration, maybe it's not on every single corner. Maybe it's a little bit more of a destination brand, right? But it's still going to be in like, you know, Costco, Sobeys,
Amazon. You know, so I can still get it on Amazon. Are you going to reduce the flavors? Are you going to, because I know there's so many SKUs, so many different flavors. Are you going to do 80-20 with that as well?
I don't know. I probably would scale back some of them. What I think is really going to be interesting is I probably will run limited time offers or limited time flavors. But what I won't do is I won't brand it. Like, for example, I'll give you an example here. I think that this was like a big mistake. So see this right here, this ice pop.
That's how I got into BioSteel, was the ice pop version. Yeah.
Okay. There you go. So see this right here, the 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
That's a problem. So this was introduced originally to 7-Eleven as like an exclusive flavor. The problem is if this doesn't sell very well in 7-Eleven, then what do you do with it? You can't, like, what are you going to do? Costco's going to take this? Like, they're not going to take it. So your only option is to now sell on the website. And, you know, how are you going to move tonnage off of a website? I'm not saying you can't, but it's going to be harder. So I think that that's one of the things that they, you know, did wrong. You know, same thing again. Here's another one, like, you know, 7-Eleven, right? So I'm not saying it's the wrong move. I'm just saying, like, when you have like all this branded product that's exclusive with their trademarked, you know, logo on it, you know, like Sobeys not going to want that shit sitting on their shelves. Yeah. Like, it's a problem, right? So we're not going to do anything like that, where if we produce, you know, a limited time offer, we're going to maybe produce some digital marketing around it. You know, stuff that's easy to navigate and to pivot. And then, you know, maybe it's a 3-month period. Maybe, you know, if 7 wants that cream pop flavor again, you know, eventually down the road, maybe it's okay. Well, 7-Eleven, you can have it, you know, exclusive to you for 3 months. If it doesn't sell well, then, you know, we have a bunch of, like, say we got 100 and now we got 100,000 units that, you know, our minimums are like 140,000 units. Maybe they only sell 40,000. They say, hey, we don't want this shit no more. It's not selling very good. Well, then now it's just not littered with 7-Eleven logos all over it, and we can just move it to another vendor, right? So I think that that's one of the issues that, you know, they ended up running into. Another issue too is obviously, you know, the branding aspect of it, right? They put all their athletes all over the branding, and then the sponsorship deals, you know, closed out. And then now they're left with a bunch of product that you can't sell because it's littered with, you know, Mahomes all over it, or, you know, McDavid, or like who knows what, right? Like there's whatever athlete that they added to the packaging is now no more sale. It's no longer saleable. So I'm just looking at it from a different approach, and, you know, maybe 7-Eleven doesn't pick up the cream pop. Okay, fine. Like, you know, I'm not going to pull my pants down to try to go bankrupt. You know,
it sounds like your superpower is going to be saying no to the right things in this situation. Sounds like they didn't. Yeah. Sounds like they said yes to a lot of things.
Yeah.
With the hope that they'll make it up in volume eventually. And I think you just being strategic about the things that you support. And yeah, I'm super excited to follow you on this journey as I've turned about 12 people on to BioSteel. So I'm going to become a full BioSteel affiliate. And then, yeah, I think as you launch your D2C stuff, and as you launch more of your ads, like, I'm really like, we talk a lot about like brands that have built so many of the brands that I work with haven't really built their true top of funnel. They don't have brand awareness. They don't have, you know, and then they go into ads and they make it all happen with ads. I'm really excited to see, like, you've built out this incredible, you know, this brand has been built out. And then when you're able to add the right promotions, like you did with your $100,000 off the shelf there, like, I think you'll see some good results. And I'm really interested in TV. The thing I keep talking about a lot of advertisers these days is the value of strategic TV
in real television
specifically. Okay. Because I feel like it would be even a more strategic way to support your top of funnel efforts with the NHL potentially.
Interesting.
Because the brand, it's such a good brand story. It's a brand whose time has come. It's a product whose time has come. If you can tell that story really well, and associate it with minor hockey in a neat way, like, I could see it being a really effective top of funnel strategy. Like, as you and then you can do it strategically, where you're building out retail footprints and you're targeting TV around your retail footprints and all of that kind of thing. I think there's a big opportunity.
I think you're bang on. And so part of the NHL deal actually comes with like a media spend with their partners like ESPN, Sportsnet, stuff like that. So you have to spend a little bit of money with those guys. EA Sports, which is actually interesting. Like on NHL 24, like BioSteel's all in the game, which is super cool, right? So
it's in the game.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you want to hear like what you're talking about right there, go look up Barbie Stories, like the story behind Barbie. Go look up how they started with respect to, I think it was like maybe their first or something along the lines of like their first TV campaign. You know, they Barbie was very, you know, met with a lot of hesitation. You know, back in the day, you know, you've got this woman that was, you know, producing a toy with like big breasts, and it was like very like hourglass, you know, shape and stuff like that. And the men behind, you know, Mattel, even though the people behind Barbie were the ones that started Mattel, which is actually a really interesting story. But the board of directors were stonewalling her. The breakout point in time for Barbie was relating the younger girl generation. I don't know exactly what terminology you would use, but the young generation of, hey, you know, Barbie can be used as like an aspirational figure for, you know, you can look to Barbie and you can be whatever you want. You can dress her up as an astronaut. You can dress her up as a teacher. You can dress her up as a doctor. And that Barbie that you have, you could, you know, if you didn't know who to look up to, you could aspire to be like Barbie. That's, and they made a TV campaign about that, and it blew the brand up. So like, I totally agree with you where like a TV campaign or some sort of ad campaign with footage of, you know, minor hockey kids playing or practicing or whatever, and then like, you know, cutting to the future and, you know, making it look like, you know, it's one of the pros that were like back in time or vice versa. The kid now is looking ahead and tying that aspirational vision of what it could be. And then subconsciously you're like, oh, hey, you know what, in order for me to get there. So we've thought about this and like, it does tell a story because, you know, I see it, right? Like I see the 3-year-old, the 4-year-old drinking this, and I know partially why they are, right? It's not lost on me when I'm at the arenas and I see a birthday going on, and at the birthday, at the arena, there's a table, you know, instead of Coke or Pepsi, it's BioSteel, right? And the kids are all going nuts, or a parent brings in BioSteel prior to a game or after a game, and the kids are just like ripping the box apart because they're so fired up about it. Like it's something, man. Like, and I don't see that, right? And then also on top of that, to have the parents convinced that this is okay for their kids is like next level. That's a next level thing.
And then you get a 70-year-old couple out on the golf course slugging. It's like everyone can have a body by everyone's life can be fueled by BioSteel, right?
For sure.
And we'll leave it here for today. I want to stay in touch. If people want to reach out to you, because I know you're kind of doing this in public, do you recommend people reach out on LinkedIn? Is that where you're posting your videos?
I'm not super active on LinkedIn, I got to be honest. Okay. I get so much seems like spam on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
But that channel is actually growing quite a bit, probably the fastest for me, I think, because of the business concept of what's going on there and the almost like, I think people are looking at this from like a case study perspective. So I think that's super interesting, but the videos are, you know, I'll link the videos out, but like, it, you know, following along, you know, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube.
I got you on TikTok. I got you. I reached out on TikTok. That was great.
Okay, cool. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I would say probably those channels, but like everywhere, TikTok, LinkedIn, like it doesn't matter. Like probably Twitter too. Like Twitter is probably, I have the lowest following there. You know, it's the age old thing where it's, you know, wherever you have the least amount of noise is probably the best way to hit somebody up. Right. So, you know, I remember Gary Vee back in the day, he was like, you know, I'm growing my Snapchat channel. It's the least, busy channel that I have right now. Hit me up there. And I remember I hit him up one time and he actually responded. So I called him out on something one time and responded. Yeah.
Nice. But I emailed Mark Cuban one time and he emailed me right back within 2 minutes. Nice. So you never just shoot, just like Gretzky, right? You take, you got to shoot your shot. 100%. Always out there.
Yeah, you never know what's going to hit, right?
Super cool. Well, also, anytime you want to brainstorm, anytime you want to BioSteel brainstorm, I'm down. I want to be a part of this brand growing. So,
hey, listen, big fan. That is the reason why I'm putting this out there. It would be a little bit harder for me to put Canadian protein out there. That's like my brainchild. And it's never been like totally, I put some like top level stuff out there, but I've never gotten into the weeds, and I feel squirmish about getting into the weeds with Canadian protein. But the fact that BioSteel was like publicly, you know, I guess you could say humiliated with the bankruptcy, it's people already know the numbers, and really it could either go up from here or I just crash and burn and I'll be fine regardless, because it kind of is what it is. So I'm putting it out there. And also at the same time, I've gotten a lot of great suggestions, you know, yourself, you know, we're on the podcast, you got great ideas, just on this podcast alone. I'm probably going to rewatch it because of it. And I'm going to share it with the guys because I want them to pick up on some of your cues. And, you know, if I wasn't putting myself out there and like exposing all of the pitfalls and all of the, you know, the wins and the losses along the way, at the end of the day, I want people to give me suggestions because some people have really good ideas and it's free consulting essentially. So I think you'd be stupid not to do it. And to be honest with you, I wish I didn't do it from the start with Canadian protein. That's what if I could go back, I'd do it all again with Canadian protein, even building my real estate portfolio, same shit. So I think with BioSteel, the fact that it's such a public brand, I think it also interests a lot more people as well. So it's something, that's for sure.
The Great Canadian Comeback. You can follow it here. We'll keep everyone updated. If you haven't tried BioSteel, you got to go find it. You got to find some BioSteel. I like a little squeeze of lemon. I'm not a big stevia guy generally, but there's something about the mix of the product. I add a little lemon. It's keeping me hydrated. It fuels this podcast. They're the unofficial sponsor of this podcast, I gotta say.
I will tell you this. I agree with you. Typically, stevia based products are not the greatest, and I've had a lot of experience with stevia. This product, it has done extremely well, and I did not formulate this, and I am extremely impressed.
It can be sickly sweet, but it's not. It really isn't. It balances.
Yeah, for sure. This is an amazing formulated product. Like, my hat's off to the guys that formulated this. Truly, it's something.
Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. If you're not a subscriber to our newsletter, you can do that right now at directtoconsumer.co. I'm Eric Dick, and this has been the D2C Podcast. We'll see you next time.